堂听 class.com。
十，名人名事与你对话。访问耶鲁大学校长。
What qualities does the university require when enrolling students, and what changes when they leave the school?
That's a good one. The students coming into Yale, of course, they have to show a high level of academic achievement.
That's right.
Where there are a series of tests that students take,the SAT tests and some of the achievement tests that go along with it. But then they're also expected to have very excellent grades in their secondary school, in their high school education.And then also show some potential for leadership. And that's very hard to assess. But it's certainly not something you can assess just from one's academic performance. So、
that's、
we look at...
Do you have face-to-face interview?
There are those, but frankly, those can be deceptive. I think we look more to the record of what students have done、in their extracurricular activities. Have they done something unusual? Have they founded a new organization or led...been active in volunteer service in their communities, or have they been excellent athletes and perhaps elected captains of their team and shown leadership skill in that way? So through a variety of mechanisms, we try to ascertain the potential for leadership. The other thing that's important is we actually expect to have students who've made enough of an impression on their teachers and other adults that we ask for letters of recommendation, and that these letters don't just say this is,you know, the brightest student I've had in 5 years, but actually say something about the character of the individual. And the most effective letters of recognition are those that really do try to describe the person and give a sense that this is really someone who has great potential. It's all very forward-looking. We try to pick the people who will end up being leaders. And we've been fortunate to have a very good record.
As more and more young people want to get into Yale, does the criteria for enrollment become more and more critical?
Well,The criteria don't change, but the threshold, you know, the level of achievement has gone up. I mean, it's remarkable today, because right now we have about seven or eight applications for everyone we admit, and already there are many who don't apply because they know they don't have a chance to come. So we have a very strong pool of applicants. But that said, we're very eager...to expand that pool internationally. One of the things that's most important to me is to make Yale a truly global institution. It started very local, Connecticut.
Yeah.
It grew to a national institution, but I think in our fourth century, which is coming up, we would like to be a truly global institution and get the very best students from around the world.
Any comments on the Chinese students in Yale?
We have fabulous Chinese students. I mean, these Chinese students are, I think, a kind of extreme creativity and imagination that we like to see in our students. In my department in economics, we've seen some really excellent students in the graduate level. We have now over 300 students from China at Yale, most of them now in graduate programs, mostly PhD programs, but some of the other professions, law and music especially, architecture. We would like to see more at the undergraduate level, but we're very pleased with the ones we have.
Warren Buffett's 投资秘诀。
Your style has been described as buy and hold, and sometimes it strikes me that Wall Street perverts that notion to get people to invest and forget about what they own. I think you buy and watch, right? Because you sell if something's no longer working.
Yeah, we've sold, we sell something. We don't sell the businesses we buy, but we've sold plenty of stocks over the years. I mean, you know, I got my portfolio from 1950, and I had six stocks that I don't have any of them today. But...I like to buy something with the idea I'm going to hold it indefinitely, if I'm taking a big equity position. Now, we do arbitrage, we do high-yield bonds, I mean, we do other things, so those do not have that same permanence attached to them. But if you're talking about just pure bread-and-butter equities, I like to buy something that I feel is so good in terms of the business they're in and the management, and I feel so good about the price I bought in, that I say to myself, I'd just as soon own this forever.
Coca-Cola, Dairy Queen, See's Candy. What does that tell us about you?
Well, it tells me I like to buy things I can understand. I do a lot of research on things like Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
And if you look at our businesses, the truth is you'll understand every one of them. There might be some that are you're more familiar with than others, but there's nothing in there that's black box stuff or anything of the sort. You'll understand what they're doing with the customer, what it takes to keep that customer happy, and why that customer should be coming back 5 or 10 years from now, and why they should have an edge and all of that thing. So I look for things that I can understand, and Dairy Queen's a great example.
Has nothing to do with Sweet Tooth, though.
Well, I like the product.
I know what you do is very hard, and yet it all sounds very straightforward. Do people overthink this process of investing, get too cute, get too fancy, and
sure
do things?
Yeah, and I say it's simple but not easy.
Yeah.
I also tell people if they got, when they were 21, they got a card with 20 punches on it. And every time they made an investment decision, they used up a punch. And when the 20 punches were gone, they were done. They'd make a lot of money because they think a long time before they make any decision. They think a long time, before they buy a car or buy a house or all that. But many people do buy a stock, just because somebody mentioned it that day, particularly if stocks have been going up. So if you have to stick with what you understand. If you only buy into things you understand, and then you are disciplined about what you will pay when you buy into them, you can't lose money. We've never lost a lot of money.
There has been, however, a rather decided loss of investor confidence these days. Main Street looks at Wall Street and again believes, as it has in previous occasions, that the casino was rigged and they all went to the table and got taken by a crooked dealer.
Well, Main Street's expectations were too high. Now, who do you blame for that? You can blame Main Street itself. You can blame the people who are promoting stocks. You could blame Wall Street. But the basic problem was that expectations were too high, and people thought you could make a lot of money without knowing anything, but just basically riding along on hot items. So who you blame for that, you can blame. There's probably plenty of blame to go around. Now, I think it is particularly blameworthy when people who ran certain businesses made tremendous amounts of money and walked away and their shareholders ended up poor. I mean, I think that fits the definition of a scam or something close to it. But the main thing that, people's enthusiasm just, they got carried away with it. And they were aided in that by Wall Street. I mean, the fans were flamed in a whole variety of ways, analyst reports or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when, when the world goes crazy.